Mystical creatures, alien babies. Welcome to Co-Create. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline Addington, former engineer and neuroscientist turned business mystic. And this podcast is a lovely space for humans who are building beautiful things in new and different ways. I am so excited to drop today's episode. Holy potatoes, it is so good. This is for those of you out there, you little mystical creatures who want to nerd out on your energy field. Welcome. Welcome. That is what we're doing today. We are jamming out with a brilliant soul, beautiful human. This was such a fun episode to record. Dr. Betty Hernandez Tupta. Betty is a mind-body chiropractor and identifies as a pain body detective, which as this episode unfolds, you'll see how she does that in a really unique, beautiful, and brilliant way. She's learned how to integrate crystals and sound healing into her chiropractic sessions, and she's discovered that the combination amplifies her patients' treatment outcomes. What we're talking about today is the human biofield and how she has learned how to tune the human biofield. So we geek out on the energy field, the dynamics of the human energy field, different substructures inside your human biofield, your human energy field, your auric field, how stuck energy can actually be heard. Yeah. I know. It's fascinating. And how our energy fields hold the imprint of really a record of our lives. And we talk a lot about maternal imprints in our energy fields, how our energy biofields and auric fields interact with others as we move through the world, and Betty's wizardry when it comes to remote energy healing. It's a really cool conversation. Again, if you like to nerd out on the mystical, you have pressed play on the right episode because that is what we're doing. And it's a really fun one. So a little bit more about Dr. Betty Hernandez Tupta. She founded, based on her discovery through her mind-body work with chiropractic, she founded a whole other business, the Auric Fields, which is dedicated to crystals, sound healing, and rituals. And she does this incredible practice that she calls tuning the human biofield with tuning forks and with all kinds of really cool tools. We mention at the end of the episode that she does remote biofield tuning sessions, and you can find all the information for that at the links in the show notes, which I definitely recommend checking out. She's actually going to do a session on me, and we're going to come back and record another episode, a follow-up episode to this one, so you get to hear the real life experience of this, which I'm personally really excited for. She's also got the monthly moon medicine, which is a group biofield tuning. So again, all the links are in the show notes. And these monthly moon medicines are surrounding the moon cycle, and they're healing sessions that surround the moon cycle and the astrological energies of that given cycle. So enjoy the heck out of this episode. Enjoy Betty's energy. She is a fabulous human being. And you can feel like we were on Zoom together, but I could feel just how open and wonderful and expansive her human biofield is. So she is living what she teaches. She's deeply embodied in it. And I'm just so thrilled to be able to introduce you to her work and to her as a human being, because it's wonderful. She's wonderful. Her work is wonderful. This episode is wonderful. If you're enjoying it, two wonderful things that you can do is spread the word. If you'd like to share it to someone who you know is a fellow mystical little creature freak that likes to get down with all this. Share this episode out if you're loving it and if you know that they would love it. You can head over to iTunes, subscribe, write a review. It helps the podcast so much, and I always appreciate it so much. I literally do a little happy dance and send love beams every single time a review comes through. And if you want to stay in touch with me on the reg through written content, sign up for the newsletter. We have a beautiful weekly newsletter. Nourishing Magic goes out every single week. So you can do that by heading to carolineaddington.com or to the link in the show notes and sign up to get weekly emails full of love straight to your inbox. So with that, we'll go ahead and hop on into the rest of this episode. I'm so excited to hear your thoughts on it. If you love it and you're like, what? This blew my mind. Email me, hello@carolineaddington.com, or hit Betty up on the Instagram @theauricfields and let us know your takeaways. Let us know how mind-blowing it was. And you're like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. I'd love to hear it all. All right, enjoy. Oh, Betty, I'm super excited to jam out today. I feel like I'm going to learn so much today. And I'm just really grateful that you're here sharing your wisdom and your energy and your time and your space. And I'm excited for everybody to learn a ton.
I'm so excited. And honestly, I think I'm going to learn from you as well. So
perfect. That's always, those always make for the best conversations.
So, exactly.
Yeah. So everyone has formally met you, but if you were to describe some of the magic that you bring to the world and how you express your essence in the world, how would you describe that?
You know, I was thinking about this actually pretty in-depthly the other day, and I came up with a pain detective. And I say that because as my formal training as a chiropractor, right? I'm trained to like find the source of pain and deal with it. But throughout my years of practice, I noticed that a lot of the pain, not a lot, but a lot of the times the pain wasn't coming from a physical place. It was more of an emotional or traumatic storage of energy somewhere. And that led me to seek other modalities that would help, right, treat those kind of situations. And so I used, I found crystal healing. And then after that, I started to learn more about sound healing in the form of what I practice, which is biofield tuning. So I use the combination of those three to really find the sources of pain and deal with them physically, but also energetically.
Pain detective is such a great like phrase. It like combines all that you do really beautifully. And I think is like very honoring of the pain itself. Just this morning, a podcast episode dropped about like how it is a really beautiful gift to actually hold compassionate space for pain, you know, of all types, whether it's within ourselves or within our online community. And rather than just kind of railroad over it, like really hold compassionate space for it. So I think it's a beautiful thing that, you know, because it can be so easy to hear the words like, how do you express your essence, and then get all like bubbly, light and love, you know, and kind of like bypass some stuff.
Right.
It's gorgeous that you're like sinking your teeth into really going into the source of any particular pain.
That's absolutely right. Because I think so many people are actually stuck in their pain that they just feel like it's a lifestyle. And that's one of the things that I tell my patients, pain is not a lifestyle. It's not until they actually get treated. And I'm not saying chiropractic is like the thing. I always tell my patients, everything works, but not for everybody. I want to say about 80 to 85% of the modalities out there work. You just have to find the ones that work for you. And if chiropractic and my style works for you, great. If not, I am happy to refer you to acupuncture, massage, Reiki, any other forms. And I think for everybody out there, just listen to your pain and see what, you know, try different things and see what works for you.
Yeah. Pain is not a lifestyle. That is like, that's some tweetable shit. Because I think of, you know, I'm thinking of like, you know, nutrition, for example, and not knowing how, like, I think back on my own journey when I was in like grad school and I was like, lunch every day was like some crackers and a Clif Bar. Like, you know, my poor body was like, please, for the love of God. But it's kind of a situation where like, I didn't know how badly I felt until I started like tinkering. And I think that like you, it's so beautiful to reflect on the fact that pain, like we can get stuck in thinking that it's a lifestyle because it has been maybe for us for like a red hot minute, but that it's like kind of cracking out of that and being like, yeah, no, this is maybe a phase. It's maybe like an experience, but it doesn't have to be like a full-fledged lifestyle forever and ever.
Exactly. Exactly. And nutrition is another thing that you can incorporate. I always guinea pig on myself. So I'm like the biggest nerd when it comes to different modalities and different supplements. And it's actually really helped me because at times I notice when I go through something similar myself, because I have injuries as well, I get patients that come in with similar. And I was like, okay, so this is what I did. Let's see if that helps you. And going back to what you said about honoring your pain, that is actually one of the things that I feel like we do so well in at my practice is we honor the pain, right? It's there for a reason. We're not going to push it down. We're not going to push it back. I mean, this is the reason why pain then is what it is, right? Because it's all that trapped emotions and trauma and things that, you know, you push down and now they express themselves either emotionally or in the pain body. And just really trying to find what those triggers are. That's why I say detective. And I love research. Like I love doing research. So that really hits on some of those points that I really resonate with.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So curious like a cat over here. What are some of the things that you're tinkering with and experimenting and like guinea pigging yourself with now, if there is anything?
Well, so recently, so let me just start with, I have injuries. I fell off the ladder in between first and second pregnancy. And I landed on my feet like a cat, speaking about cats. And I felt something at the moment, but you know, I was 28 at the time. Right. So I was still, you know, nice and limber. And, but you know, right after having that second kid, I started to feel back pain. It was okay. Like I was dealing with it, but once I became, got into full practice and I'm adjusting bodies, like my job is pretty physical. I started to get really bad back pain and I would come in crooked and I'd be able to see like three people a day. I'd like suck it up, straighten myself out and do what I got to do. And so, you know, I treated myself with the things that I know, right? Acupuncture, chiropractic, Pilates. This is one thing that I integrated in my practice as well. Massage. And it took me about 80% of the way, I would say. So I always lived within like anywhere between 2 and 5 pain scale out of 10. And so I thought, well, shoot, I guess that's the way it is, right? Just for, you know, shits and giggles, I was like, let me just do an MRI because I think I have herniations. So I did, and I do, I have 2. And I started to research a little bit more about epigenetics. And I found a really great coach who does epigenetics testing. And we did that. And she was able to find the supplements and things that I was missing just inherently, right? And also the fact that I don't have a gallbladder. I had my gallbladder removed. So things to support my liver. And wow, has that been the key to bringing my levels down to literally 0?
Wow.
So the epigenetics test, I mean, I've always been really interested in epigenetics and just seeing that, how that like really, was almost like the missing link.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I suggest that because, for people, especially if you're living with like chronic pain, if you tried, you know, all these different things, you know, why not try epigenetics testing? It's a very like robust and extensive test. They test for so many things and your genes aren't going to change. So you only really have to do the test once. It can be a little pricey, but for me, it was well worth it. For me to be 0% pain, it was amazing.
Yeah, that was my next question is like, what are they, are they basically like testing a select, I mean, I guess they'd have to select for certain genes, otherwise it would just be like ridiculous. And then just like looking to see, so for everybody listening, epigenetics, like all genes have the potential to be expressed. Sometimes they're like wearing short sleeves and like, you know, the part of the arm that's exposed can be expressed. Sometimes they're wearing long sleeves and nothing is getting expressed. And it depends on like how much of the gene is basically methylated or demethylated. Are they just testing a set of genes that are like they know are going to be of interest, or are they going in and like the whole human genome looking at stuff? Because I've never heard of anybody getting like epigenetic tests done.
Well, this is strictly related to like dietary. Mm. So dietary needs. So they will test everything from all the different vitamins, minerals. It goes into gluten and carbs. There's even a portion of a portion you can add, which I didn't add myself, but I added it for my son. So I had him do the epigenetics, and it's like an exercise portion. And that will test how much cardio your body needs, how much water it needs, your actual macros, what type of exercise is optimal for your body. Like it can go, you can really get down the rabbit hole with that. And it's pretty extensive. I think the report was like maybe 50 pages. So what basically she touched on was a low hanging fruit. Like for me, I needed a methylated B12, and she's found that that's like a big kind of deficiency for most people. But for me, that was very helpful because now getting supplements with that, plus the fact that I need liver support because I don't have a gallbladder, right? So I need help with expression of bile. That was very helpful for toxicity, like inflammation, being able to push that out, which I think was what my body was having a hard time doing. And that's why it kept me in that, you know, 2 to 5 out of 10 pain scale. And that was like the key for me. And I was just like, you know, that might be something. Also, you know, for somebody else, even like fibromyalgia, you know, those kind of things that are just like, sort of, I call them like a junk diagnosis, right? Because they don't really know what it is.
Yeah.
Although a lot of the research that I've read has to do with emotions, right? Molecules of emotions, that those emotions is the stress that you can attribute it to. And yeah, stress is a fucking killer.
Mm-hmm.
It sure is.
Dude, that is fascinating. I am like so intrigued. I had no idea that that was a thing you could do. Yeah. And I have a sneaking suspicion that a lot of these like diagnoses, like IBS and stuff like this,
yes,
like, we don't know what causes it. That is like, it's probably emotions. And like, and this feeds perfectly into something that I knew that we wanted to jam on today. That was a weird emphasis. Jam on is the biofield, you know, and like, what even is the biofield and how do these like stuck emotions and stress emotions play into a vibrant biofield?
So your biofield, your energy field, your auric field, those are all AKAs for basically, you know, the energy field that's around your body. You know, we have several, we have our main energy field, which is surrounding our body, but we also have one around the heart. We have one around the brain. The one that I work with biofield tuning is our general body energy field. And that is really interesting to work with pain body, but also emotions, because what we're doing is we use weighted forks and unweighted forks, tuning forks with a biofield tuning. So that's the sound healing that we're using. So the weighted forks, we don't really have, they're not audible, right? For us. However, doesn't mean that the body doesn't hear it, right? Because it's vibration. And the unweighted forks are the ones that you can hear. Those are the ones that probably people are most, they're most familiar with. And so we use the tuning forks to give the body the sound, a coherent sound, right? Because these tuning forks are specific hertz and specific to the body. And the premise is that the body will hear the dissonance in the sound, be able to adjust and auto-tune.
Whoa!
Exactly. So we first start off with, so your energy field is about 5 to 6 feet away from your body. And it's a toroidal. So it almost looks like an apple, right? And we have our earth star at the bottoms of our feet. We have our sun star at the top of our head. Those are the two chakras that we work with to connect that energy field when we're actually doing a biofield tuning. And also interesting to know that the energy field has a double layer membrane all
like
around.
Just like a cell.
Exactly.
What?
And that double membrane, I don't know, mind blown.
Can we jam on this? So these like the sun star and the what did you said is
earth star.
Are these like, I'm like having a moment here where like our energy field is basically like a cell membrane. And then is this a pore? This like,
yep.
What?
You think of yourself, I always give the example, think of yourself as a battery. Those are the two ends of your battery.
Yeah. Cool. And okay. So, carry on. Sorry. I had to pause. Like,
no, it's okay. So the double layer membrane is about, I want to say, I think it's been known to be about 2 inches thick. And that holds the information of our in vitro experience. So a lot of that is mom energy, right? And a lot of times, you know, got mom issues, that information needs, or that energy needs to become untangled from our energy, right? Because, you know, we are absorbing everything. We are just little babies or really just, you know, in vitro. And that's a really interesting part of working with the energy field. And then, so at the very edge of the field is you at birth, your birth story, childhood. And then as I get closer to your body, that's you current in the present. Mm. And so in between that is the record of your life, which is really interesting. So I use the sound of the fork to read the record as it was laid. So this is one thing that's a little bit different with working with like your emotions, as opposed to being in therapy, right? You're talking to your therapist. That's also very helpful, right? I'm not poo-pooing that at all, but it's a little bit different because you're now dealing with the emotions as an adult, as opposed to biofield tuning, we're working with the energy as it was laid on your record.
Like the literal imprint.
Yes.
Cool.
Exactly. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So it's really interesting to get to those. Well, first of all, let me go back and say, when we find that static in the field, right, I can either hear and the person will be able to hear as well. The dissonance in the fork, you could get a really high pitched. You can even sense when it's like staticky, when it's like anxious, stressful, or you can feel it just below. So that's like you're being held back, you're being suppressed. So it's really, really interesting in that fact. And then I open myself up to downloads of information for that person, whether it's a lot of times it's a loved one that comes through, right? Either needs to work something out with them or give them encouragement. Or it's a guy, it's their team that is helping me, you know, just work through this information. And it's basically pockets of trauma that get stuck in your field. So what happens is now that interrupts your energetic body, right? Because yeah, we are energy, we're electrical. And this can now express itself into physical pain or emotional pain, depression, anxiety, all those things. So what we're getting at is that energy that is stuck. And if you want to think of it in shamanic terms, it's soul fragments, right? And we're bringing the energy closer to the body. And then I deposit it back into whichever chakra. So at before we even begin this, I ask the pendulum what it, the priority, and then depending on which chakra and which side of the body, biofield tuning has a map that we go with, and that will be pretty much the theme of the session. So then the energy goes back to the chakra, we integrate it, and then that's able to go into your energy field and be integrated in the field, as opposed to hanging out in between and disrupting you.
Okay, I have so many questions. So cool. Okay, so first question, when there's this like dissonance happening where you're like, sometimes it's staticky, sometimes it's high pitched, sometimes it's low pitched, basically is what's happening where someone's got some pocket of their biofield or their like auric field that's vibrating at a certain frequency, and it's like some stuckness. And then that's like, it's almost like an interference pattern.
Yes.
If that's what's happening.
Yes. Yes. You can hear it and I can feel it. It goes, you know, I'm using the fork and it's just boom, it's stuck.
Whoa.
And then, yes, it actually.
You're moving the fork through their field.
Yes.
You can literally feel it.
Yes.
Whoa.
So what we do is I sort of, divide the age in half. So say, for example, the patient is 50 years old. So then I put a little marker halfway, that's 25 years. So then I have an idea of like, okay, or sometimes actually the numbers just pop in my head. We're at 5 years old. This is what I'm noticing. And the beautiful thing too about biofield tuning is that if you don't want to go into the story of what that is, you don't need to. All you have to say is, I know what that is. That's enough for the body to confirm that. And a lot of times what I ask the patient or the client is, what are you noticing? Because you could be noticing an emotion, a memory, a feeling, and that's all part of what's going on in that field. It could be where that energy is stuck in your body. Cause a lot of times it's like, I feel it in my foot, or I feel it here and I feel it there, and good. That's what we want. We want to connect those two to really just help move that energy.
That was going to be my next question is like, is it a thing? So say that you're moving this tuning fork through the field. Is it a thing where it's like something that's stuck shows up almost like as a sheath over our entire energy field? Or is it like, you'll feel a different stuckness around the foot, for example, than you would around the shoulder? Or is it like, if there's information of stuckiness in the foot, you'll pick it up no matter where you are in the energy field? Does that question make sense?
Yes, it totally makes sense. And it is depending on where the energy is stuck in the body. And also the beautiful thing is that the body is in charge of this, of this session. We're taking the mind out of it. The body is telling you where, which chakra, what side, what we're working with, and where the, you know, where the emotion could be trapped. Well, I won't really know that until we go through your field, and I'll ask the patient, what are you noticing? And they'll say, yeah, I feel like my left hip, I'm feeling some pressure there, or, you know, so we work with it. You know, that's probably where the energy is stuck, you know, and sometimes it does correlate with their actual pain points. And sometimes it may not. It might be like an internal thing. You know, it might be like, I often get a lot of like bloatiness, you know, and even though my diet's pretty good, and it's just really amazing. And another thing that is interesting is if we work with like a person, you know, a person in that, in that person's life, that's come up in this session, a lot of the times that person will contact them after this session because we're working with the energy, you know, and that could also be good and bad. So I have to like, let them know, like, look, we work with this person's energy. Don't be surprised if they send you an email, they send you a text, you get a phone call. You know, one time the person was like, oh my God, my ex like literally liked my posts. And that has never happened. I haven't talked to him in years because we were specifically working with that energy of that traumatic, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So I always have to warn you, like, this might happen. So also the body will never, it will never give you anything that you cannot deal with. So this is another great thing is like the body is, whatever the body is ready to release, that is what's going to come up. Because a lot of times I say, don't come in with an agenda. You think it's one thing and it never is.
Never.
It's
always,
yeah. It's the body is like, no, I want to work on my, I want to work on this, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's so funny. As you were talking about like, oh, my ex liked a post. I was like, that actually, that'll happen on calls over here too, where we've been doing mom stuff, working through mom stuff. And then like, you know, they'll like maybe clear some stuff out, set up some energetic boundaries. And then they don't even have to have the conversation because mom will text and be like, I think that I was maybe like crossing a line here. I'm sorry for this. And it's like, yes. You literally just do the work energetically. And then it's like, they respond to that. Like,
right.
Which is so yeah. Cool.
Which is also brings me to the point of like, working on yourself, especially with biofield tuning, will heal the lineage.
Yeah.
Right. Before you and the ones that are coming. So this is also a really great modality for moms that have young children that, you know, we're not doing energy work on them. You know, some things we might be able to do, but by and large, you want to shy away from that. This is a really great way to work for them through you.
Yeah.
It's really nice. It's a nice, gentle, well, it could be gentle because sometimes those, you know, as you know, those guides really just, you know, smack you around and give you hard truths.
but always never more than we can handle, like you were saying.
Exactly.
You're
like,
we're smacking you exactly. Around, you're ready to get smacked around.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Some of these are just like, oh man, I'm sorry. We beat you up on this session. And sometimes it's just lovely. It's what they needed. It's the confirmation of something that they were ready to let go of, yeah. But they didn't know how. Mm. And then we do this biofield tuning and it's really a lovely, you know, I love those, but you know, we always also have to hear, you know, the truths yeah. as well.
Yeah. Okay. So I have like a maybe out there question for you.
Yes.
So earlier you were saying that that we have one main like larger biofield and then we have one around the brain, one around the heart. Do you think we have one around the gut? Because the gut is like another brain.
Exactly. You know, I haven't heard about that, but I don't know if things have changed lately, but that is considered our second brain.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if there was one.
The reason, like part of what brings it up is as you're talking about like the separating from the maternal imprints, you know, that got my brain thinking about how like because there's like this, the immune interface between mom and fetus is like such an interesting conversation because yes. It's like self, but then at the same time, other, and like the gut plays such a big role in understanding that dynamic. And I was like, oh, I wonder if there's like another one around the gut that, or it could be super interesting that maybe it forms throughout life, you know, as we like kind of separate that it, our own diversity, our unique immune system, our unique gut can kind of come on board. And then we have like this new field that forms. I don't know. I'm getting harebrained, but I think it's fascinating.
Well, that would be interesting to find out though, if that was. What I do know is there's definitely a connection, I think, and in particular with boys, mom and boys, that their cells are connected in their heart, in the heart. So we hold like our boys' information in our heart. I think it's called mesenchymal.
Mesenchymal stem cells?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I feel there's something similar, right? With women where we hold our mothers and our grandmothers, like all that is in there even before.
Yeah. We all have mesenchymal stem cells.
Yeah.
As adult. And like, it might just be that the distribution of them is different,
yes.
But yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it goes by the, I guess there's a saying, right? That, is there a saying? I don't know. I was just thinking about like boys, I have two boys. Well, they're young men now. And it's just a different connection. I don't have daughters. I have daughters. I have dogs. daughters. but I definitely have a connection with boys like I said, my big dog, he's my familiar that I work with at my office, and a lot of the energetic work that I do too, he's always there. I'm also one out of four brothers. So I'm the only girl, four brothers. So it could be that too. But there is scientific proof about that with the hearts and the moms and the sons.
That's interesting. That's super interesting. It's funny, as you're talking about like our biofields carrying all this information and carrying the records of like our lives, I was getting the mental imagery of like, you know how, this is like so weird, but you know how like dogs sniff each other's butts and then they have like a biological record. Like, we're like just not aware that we're doing that, but our energy fields are probably like bumping into each other all day, every day. And we're getting this like butt sniff.
Totally. I mean, there is that also that feeling of like, I don't know what it is about that person, but I am just not vibing. Right.
Yeah.
I don't care for her. It's not like, or him. It's not like I know anything about them. And that's also part of like our energy fields. I feel like you said, they bump up, they kiss and see, like, do we vibe with this person? Is our energy vibing with their energy or their electrical process? And I think that has a lot, like a connection there for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm kind of curious to learn more about the Earth Star and the Sun Star.
Okay. So your Earth Star should live about 5 to 6 inches, sometimes a little bit more depending on the person, away from the bottoms of your feet. And it's your connection to earth and grounding, right? And then your sun star about the same distance from the top of your head. And that is your connection to the heavens and to, you know, your guides and source, God, however you want to think about it. And like I said, those are like the two ends of your battery, if you think about them. So for the Earth Star, that can become tucked, almost like the tail of a dog when they're scared. And that is from stress, anxiety, a traumatic experience. So one of the first things that I do is I locate where the Earth Star is. And with the energy and the sound, I try to bring it out and extend it past to where it needs to live and be. Cool. Because this is also needed in order for us to really get into your energy field. So that's also really interesting. That will give me information, like, you know, and whatever downloads I get, like, you know, you need to work on, you know, grounding and, you know, and I guide them through this during the session. We do like a small part of like really grounding them and making sure that they feel safe, again, honoring their pain, right? And so once we're done with that, I move to the Sun Star. And again, you know, sometimes I need to bring it out and sometimes, you know, they're doing a good job on their own, but also bringing it out and connecting those two. So the Earth Star and the Sun Star.
Cool. How common would you say it is that are like, they're kind of tucked? Is it something that you're like, ooh, like 90% of people have a...
it hasn't been my experience that it's been super high in my practice. But again, I see a lot of witches. I see a lot of people that are already doing work. So it could just be, you know, it needs a little bit of an adjustment. Now and again, I will find it like up by the knees, you know, and that's somebody who's just going through a hard time or who's had... you know, traumatic experiences in the past. And this could be their first, you know, experience with energy work.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah. That's also like, have to hold space for that, right? We have to move at their speed. And I always say, I treat the body that's in front of me because, you know, I can't make assumptions that, they'll be able to receive. And that's another thing. Like I want to make sure that the person is able to receive or willing, be open to receiving, because we don't know what's going to come up, you know, in your session, and it could be a doozy. And if you're not ready, that could be harder.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to re-traumatize.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But I find that most people, you know, I try to give a good enough description of what we're working with. And if they have questions, you know, obviously I go over it And if they've been my chiropractic patients, you know, I've touched their bodies. I've known where they're at as well. So a lot of the times I suggest, I think you're ready for a biofield tuning. I think we're ready. You're ready to proceed for that if you want to do that. And then, you know, which is great because now they get a physical adjustment and we work energetically with an adjustment.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a nice kind of like full body experience.
Yeah. 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 So I'd be curious to know, like, with the, because like the way you were just describing the physical adjustment and the energetic brought this question to mind that a lot of times if we get a physical adjustment, but our like muscles are still kind of kinked up, then like over the course of a week or whatever, we could end up with the same kind of, so like with the energetic adjustment, what is it like for that to get integrated? Is it, you know what I mean? Does the field ever like again, or does it like kind of stay smoothed out?
So it's very interesting the way the integration works. And there's things that we do. I do in the actual session. I do like a figure eights with the weighted forks. And then I also use a very light fork that we call the cocooning you in light and sound. And then I tie it up. So we make a nice, beautiful like container for you to integrate, because integration is going to look different for one person than the other. Like for example, myself, I get biofield tunings remotely, and I've never experienced any sort of negative, anything negative with my integration. But I have had patients that feel sick, have gotten fatigued, have felt angry, were just like knocked out, right? And that could be, you know, a way of your body detoxing from that. Other people feel super energized, feel lighter. It really just depends on the person and how the body wants to integrate that. But we do create a nice container, and I make sure I let the person know, like, this could be the range of what can happen, because I don't want them to be surprised and I don't want them to be like, what's wrong with me? You know, it's better to have them prepared, but there's definitely an integration. And I always suggest like Epsom salt baths and hydration. That's going to be key to really just, you know, keep working with the energy and releasing it.
That's good wisdom for like every day.
Exactly.
Salt baths and all the hydration. It's interesting because I'm thinking of like, you know, even just in moving through, you know, a path, walking the mystic path and like growing and evolving and all these things. There have been times even outside of maybe like a biofield tuning where I'll like feel myself release a thing and feel the energy come back in. And I'm like, now I'm like, I'm gonna cocoon a little bit, because what I'm imagining is like, that's gorgeous. But then we go back out into the world and like bump around with stuff, and our energy field bumps into the world and the rest of like, and everybody else. And I'm curious, like, you know, how much of that do we then like take back on and have to slowly release if that cocoon isn't there? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, first off, I'll say we are human, right? We're living this human experience. So we're going to be dealing with the emotions, and we might revert back in some ways. But I also think it has to do with like, what are you doing to, now that you've made space, now that you've cleared this, what are you doing to keep that channel open? Right? If you just go back to what you did before. Yeah. Right. So I think it has to do with, you know, a lot of the work that I do is of the moment, but I mean, it really depends on how much homework are you going to do? Right. And it goes back to the client and the patient. And, you know, I can do as much as I can here when you come here, when we have a session, but I don't live your life, you know? So don't, this is not like a one size fits all kind of thing, like fix me now. And if that's your attitude, then we're probably not a good fit, you know, because you need to take some responsibility. responsibility as well. And that's a big thing. Like, I don't, you know, if you're coming in for maintenance, that's one thing. But if you're like coming in for the same issue after I've given you, you know, some suggestions and you're still not, you want me to do all the work, right? It's like, you have to have a little skin in the game too. You have to be your own advocate as well, you know?
Yeah. I think one of the things that feels like so beautiful about energy work is that because it does get closer to the root, you know, I'm thinking of like, you know, the Maya Angelou quote, when we know better, we do better. It's like, yeah, when the energy field shifts, new awareness comes on board and now we know better. And we, even if we maybe don't make like a quantum leap forward, we can't ever quite go backwards, you know? And it's like, it might be a slow walk forward or like a leap forward, but it is, it does feel like it's ever forward.
Yes. Yeah. Baby steps. I mean, if you're looking to make big changes, you have to start with those baby steps and all those baby steps accumulation process. Right. And they will all cumulatively make that quantum leap. And, things take time too, because we're, you know, we're into the habits forming and we might have to also deal with toxic relationships. And that's tough when you're in a comfort zone and, you know, you have to take the time, your own time. You have to move at your own pace too. You know, I'm definitely not a proponent of was like, well, now you got to do this, you know, no, not at all. These are my suggestions. You know, you might want to move slowly on these, right? Because slow and steady wins the race. That's always my best suggestion is just, you know, take your time and feel, see what feels right. Tap into your inner knowing. And I'm not like the type of practitioner that is very pushy with like, well, you have to see me, you know, every week. Like there's a lot of chiropractors out there. I understand if it's like a car accident. Yes, we have to see you a little bit more aggressively. But other than that, I really want you, like my whole job is you. I want you to see how you're feeling. Like I want you to tap in and make the decision. You know what? I think it's time for me to come in back in. I'm feeling like I need to get an adjustment. Because if we can get you to a place of maintenance, that's always my goal, because I want to work with you when you're not in pain, because then we're working with maintenance.
Yeah, that is so wonderful. I just want to like celebrate you for a hot second, because I don't think I've ever heard a like healthcare practitioner take that like that level of sovereignty in their approach, where it's like you know, I rather than getting you on some like continuous, it makes me think of like big pharma, where it's like, yes, instead of actually healing the thing, we're gonna get you drug dependent.
Yes.
Right. And so I just want deep appreciation for the fact that you're like, come in when you know that when you're in your sovereign decision and you know that you need the work.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, I don't like to be, that's why I just had to do chiropractic a different way.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't going to be this practice that was going to see 500 people a week. You know, I'm like, yes, my prices are probably more, but you get me. And I am holding space for you and your pain and honoring it and ultimately your healing. And that's just worth something different, totally. Right? I'm not going to be doing the same thing to, you know, it's like, you know, like a little mill. That's just not, you know, and when I just started in chiropractic, you know, that's what's out there.
Right.
Which was a great experience for me, because I was like, that's what I don't want to do.
Yeah.
Right. Cause sometimes you have to go through those things because you don't know. And then you go through it and you're like, that's exactly not what I want. And you know, I was able to really just create the space, the healing space that just resonated with me, you know, where I would want to go. If I knew another person that did what I did, I would go there.
Yeah. Well, and it also feels like it's extended the reach of your work so much too, because like, working with energy is outside of time and space, right? So like you're able to have that remote element. And because like, I mean, like I live in Virginia, and to the credit of the town where I live, for like being a pretty small place in Virginia, we have a surprising amount of like witches and shamanic practitioners and like badasses that I didn't know when I first moved here. And then the more that I like sunk in, I was like, the fuck?
Yeah. We're out there.
But I mean, like, you're in LA, right? Where it's abound.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm thinking of like, for example, my partner, his, if you can call it a hometown, his home stretch of road in the middle of nowhere, West Virginia, right? Like so far away from someone who is a practitioner like you are. And I think it's such a gorgeous thing that I think this is one of the beautiful things of the pandemic is that it's built this online infrastructure and normalized online, you know, accessibility so that people who maybe are like so like physically so far away from someone who's doing your kind of work can still get access to it, which is amazing.
Yes, especially with biofield tuning. As I mentioned, like the only type of just because my schedule is, you know, I have like three businesses, I have a really packed schedule. The best way for me to receive energetic work is remotely. And that's how I get my energy work. But also I offer that for this reason. And I think touching on your point about this, the panini, the pandemic has made it acceptable, right? And for even people that maybe didn't even realize that that was possible, right? And there's going to be people that want to come in and that's fine. And if they want to come in, you know, I have a space for that. But for the most part, like you can get remote work done for anything like Reiki, biofield tuning, crystal healing, so many ways that you can receive the work. It you just have to, I guess, resonate with what it is. And like we said, it's space and time. So the way I do my remote work is we book a time and it's just for me to get some information firsthand. And then you tell me, when do you want me to release this energy? I'll work on it during the time, you know, beforehand, and then I release it. You know, some people prefer to receive that when they're sleeping. So they just give me a time. I'll send it at this time. I'm going to be out on a walk at this time, release it at this time. I'm going to be in a bath. I'm going to be in a ritual. Like, so the person has, again, the sovereignty to choose when they would like to receive this energy work. And it works. I've had people that are skeptical about it. And then they're just like, I don't know how, but I knew you were doing it. Like I could feel it. And some people don't give me a time. Right. And then I'll just, you know, whenever I just ask the energy of like, whenever you feel like this is ready to release. But I think it's just a beautiful option to have, especially if you're someone like me, that's like tight on schedule, but really want to make the time at some point to receive the energy work.
Yeah. Well, and I'm like, it would be amazing to get energy work in the bathtub.
Yes.
An experience one time where I really wanted to go to this like live event back when live events were a thing. And I am hopeful. I'm like, come back soon. I think they will. So soon. I miss seeing people in person, but I wasn't able to make this one, but I really wanted to be there. I had like other engagements and I was like, you know what? I think I'll just like tune in energetically and like set the intention to like be there. Cause several close friends were there. So I was like, kind of had, you know, some like energetic connection. And I was like, yeah, I think I'll just like maybe receive it if like this is an available option. If like, you know, the field is down for it. And I set that intention and then I forgot about it. And then I was like traveling, you know, in the car. And all of a sudden I was like getting all these insane downloads and I was like, oh, it started. That's right. Hi. So, I mean, it's like, it's a thing.
Absolutely. No, I love that story because that's exactly what happens. People forget. And then they're like, this stuff is happening. And they're like, oh, that's right. I told her to release it at this time, you know, I love that story. That's exactly what happens.
I'm curious because like it could be super easy for anyone who maybe hasn't had that experience to be like, is it like what? How is it like still effective, you know, not in person? And I'm curious because belief plays such a role into like such a role in our lives and in like, you know, the efficacy of things. Is that a barrier? You know, if someone's like, I am kind of skeptical that like the time and like that energy works outside of time and space. Is that a barrier? Is not so much?
Well, my response is always like, I totally understand, right? I honor your skepticism, but in this case, I just want you to have an open mind. I'm not saying that you're going to believe. I'm not saying, you know, you're drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm just want you to just have a little bit of an open mind. Although I have to say, I don't really come across people that's the case. A lot of the times, I mean, just looking at my website and stuff, you know, like, this isn't some typical stuff.
You know, so, what you're getting into.
Exactly.
You know, marketing.
Exactly. So we don't get a lot of that, you know, sort of clients. A lot of the times they're already like excited. They're like, this sounds amazing. This sounds exactly what I need. How do I do this? But in the occasion that would be the case, I would basically just say, you know, you have an open mind, but you do have to have their permission. It's not like, it's just like any other energy to work. You're not going to be like sending this information to someone who A, doesn't know, is not, you haven't had permission for. When it's a mother and a child, that's different. But say like, you know, it's just like any witchcraft. You're not going to be like hexing people and, you know, we have some ethics, you know, and I hold true to that. Yeah, my only requirement is for you to have an open mind.
That's such a beautiful, I love how you like sneak in the back door. Play, but like just for now, maybe, because that probably like puts at ease so much. So any skepticism that someone would have where they're like, okay, because I think that skepticism oftentimes comes about because we don't want to identify as someone who's getting, you know, hoodwinked, you know?
Yes.
At least that's when I feel it in myself. I'm like, Am I going off the deep end here? You know? And it's so like, that's like such a clever, like, and so and not that you're trying to be sneaky, but like, that's so clever.
the little Jedi mind trick.
Yeah. Little Jedi mind trick where it's like, cause you don't have to identify as someone who like buys in order to have an open mind.
This is science, baby. It's just, you know, also early on in my chiropractic practice, I would come across people that didn't want to get adjusted. And I'm just like, why are you here? Right. And then I'm just like, okay, fine. You don't want to get adjusted. I do trigger point work. I do a lot of different like manual therapies as well. So I would just do my thing. And then at the end, they're like, okay, can you adjust me? And I'm like, are you sure? Like you were pretty adamant, you know? And a lot of times, you know, you have to kind of trust chiropractic is a hands-on experience. So you have to be vulnerable. So I make it, I really try to make the experience as easeful and, you know, as possible and relaxing, you know, when it comes to even just like the aesthetics, like I have lots of plants and I have all my crystals, you know, the auric fields is the crystal business. And just making it beautiful. Also, I mean, I just love beautiful things. But I think that goes really hand in hand with letting people really feel like they can let go.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't always work. You know, there's some people that are like so tightly wound, men mostly. I would say I see about probably 95% of my clients are women. And that is awesome. And the whole staff is just women. So it's a really nice, you know, it's a place where you can be yourself and you feel safe.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's so much to be said for like beauty opening up and helping us feel safe. Cause it does like when beauty is,
yes,
you can feel that a space has been cared for and is like beauty has been cultivated.
Yes.
It opens you up in some kind of magical way.
Yes.
It's like one of the, you know, when I think about a lot of these like divine qualities, like beauty is a divine quality and it's got this like healing balm in and of itself.
It just feels good. Like a lot of people just like, as soon as they come in, they're like, oh, you know, it's just the energy, the plant energy, you have the crystals vibing.
Essential oils going.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's just like a little nucleus of love.
Yeah.
You know?
I love that. Nucleus of love. So well said. Yeah. So you have digital offerings, right? And ways that people, if they've been like, if they're like, I want a bathtub experience.
Absolutely. Yes. I have remote sessions available through the auric fields. I also have a crystal concierge service. So if people really want to get into crystals and, but don't know like where to go, or even somebody who's more experienced with crystals, they want to like cultivate a deeper connection or even get more of a ritual, like a crystal grid, like all those options. I'll work with your like astrological signs and things like that. So it's a really cool experience. And then if you are in my neighborhood in Los Angeles, you can do in-person chiropractic and biofield tuning or crystal healing as well. So there's a few options for in-person and remote.
We should have you back on the podcast to talk about crystal grids.
Yeah, sure.
If you want to.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm super intrigued because like every time I set up a grid and like activate it, there's this like moment after it's activated where I can just feel the energy go like, whoosh. And I'm like, what's going on? I don't know, but it's dope. So
yeah, I totally love crystal grids. I think it's definitely a topic for maybe people that are a little bit more experienced. So I think your audience would be great. A lot of my clients from the auric fields are like newly on their journey of crystals. So I'm doing a lot of teaching, but I love crystal grids. I absolutely love them. I mean, hello, we live on a crystal grid.
Yeah, true. It's so true. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, we'll drop all the links in the show notes. So you guys definitely go check it out. Where's your internet home for them to find you on the social medias and things?
So the IG is the Auric Fields, and for chiropractic, it's back.benders. I also have websites, the Auric Fields and Backbenders. And that's pretty much it. You can find any information there with contact as far as email goes or phone numbers. So that's where you can find me.
Perfect. We'll drop it all in the show notes for everybody to come hang. Yay. any like last little, you know, parting wisdom nuggets that you would give to someone who's curious about, you know, biofield tuning as a whole and like, you know, just wants to go further down the rabbit hole. I mean, obviously come hang and check you out, but if they're like interested in getting started, how would you suggest them like prep themselves for the experience?
Well, I always say that when you book the session, that's when it starts. Mm-hmm. A lot of my patients, they book their session and they're just like, you know, we do a check-in right before the session and they're like, yeah, so all this stuff is happening and it just happened the other day. And I was like, yeah, because that's your body's prepping. You're prepping for this energy work. But if you want to get more information, the founder of biofield tuning is called, she actually wrote a book. It's called Tuning the Human Biofield. Her name's Eileen McCusick. So if you want to get more information, she's all over the internet. They do trainings. I absolutely loved it. I was very fortunate enough to have her as a teacher for my advanced biofield tuning certification. Literally January 2020. And then everything shut down. So I feel really fortunate to be able to have done that because she's not teaching anymore. But that's a really good resource if you just want to get more information. You can also go to my IG back.benders and there's like a little blurb in my bio where she's explaining remote work. So if you want to know a little bit more on the science and how that distance energy work works, that's a good resource as well.
Oh, cool. Okay. Awesome. I'm also so glad that you mentioned like as soon as they book the session that it begins, because that reminded me during the interview, I was like, I need to hook you up with Ashley Stenson, who is a brilliant human. I feel like you two would have like fun conversations together.
Yeah.
And she said the same thing before, like as soon as people book the session, the work begins. Because her body of work is, she's channeled through this entire system of where various energies get stored in the bones, in the muscle, yes, in the fluid, in the nervous system. So when you were talking about like, oh, something is stuck in the foot, like, and she actually has an oracle deck. It's really beautiful.
Oh, really definitely want to check it out.
Yeah, that would be so much fun with clients to like pull cards from that oracle deck. Because like looking, yes, at what's in the foot, and it's maybe like, I don't know what's in the foot, but I always remember that like the shoulder blades are like inner child stuff. And like the, yeah, left side means one thing, the right side means another thing. So y'all would probably,
well, the feet are basically like, and it depends on the right or left, but it's like, it's mirrored, stuck, like, don't know, you know, you're stuck in a place that you don't want to be. And then the other side is like, where am I going? Where am I leading to? Yeah, it's really interesting. Well, you know what would be good is we should do a remote session with you. And then on the next time for when we speak, you can give everybody your experience.
I would love that.
Yeah, wonderful. Let's do it.
Like some, you know, feedback on, yeah, how it was for everybody, like first account, first person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm super into it.
Beautiful. All right, cool. Let's do it.
Well, thank you so much for your time, your energy. This was like such a cool, like mind expanding conversation. I learned so much and I'm so grateful. And also so grateful that you followed your heart and kind of broke the mold of traditional chiropractic work to step into a more expansive version, because so much of what you're doing, I feel like, rethinks traditional healthcare and traditional approaches to chiropractic work. So it's very cool.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you for noticing that. Yes.
Yeah. Literally my pleasure.